we've got up here on our projector a psalm, part of the psalm. Psalm 27 and 4 says this is a psalm of David. And I've got the whole psalm on there. I don't know how well it shows up on that projector, but we're just going to take it a little at a time as we have it on the screen there. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." He starts this verse by saying this one thing, and we're going to start our lesson, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." What would be your one thing that you desired? What would be your one thing that you would say that you desired in your life? Notice this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." We might say that we have a desire for one thing, and saying it and doing something would be completely different. Do our actions show that? That's what he says here. "That will I seek after." He's going to put forth effort for this one thing. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty and inquire in His temple." His one thing was to be in the presence of God all of his life, to dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days, he says. And then he tells us why. Why he has this desire. Why this is his one thing. "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." To inquire is to meditate and to study more of God. But what we want to notice out of this is, why did he want to be in the house of the Lord all of the days of his life? Because he wanted to behold, or he wanted to see, the beauty of the Lord. That shows the importance of it. But here we see he has an appreciation for the beauty of the Lord. He wants to be close to God so that he could see the beauty. David also talks about beauty in other psalms here. He says, "The beauty of holiness." He talks about the beauty here of holiness. And then if you look in Psalms 96 and 9, he says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is beautiful. We see in the Bible where it talks about the glory of God in several places. Glory is talking about something, it's kind of picturing something that you can see. Something you can behold and look at. Something that's beautiful to look at. When it talks about the glory of God, it's talking about this thing here, the beauty of the Lord. Also, the word grace is used in many places in the New Testament. We see this word used in lots of different ways. If you were to study grace, you'll see it's in there a lot of places. And it's talking about something that is pleasant, about something that is beautiful, something that is good to us to see. We perceive it as being good. That's what is gracious. And we see grace and graces in many places. But David here is talking about the beauty of the Lord. He is wanting to be in the house of the Lord all of his life because this is his desire, to see the beauty of the Lord. And we see this beauty of holiness. David himself, whenever he was young, he was described as being beautiful. Whenever we know that they had judges, the children of Israel had judges, and then they wanted a king to be like the other nations, and God gives them a king. He gives them King Saul, and King Saul does things contrary to God's will. King Saul is not a good king. So God has removed it from him and is going to anoint another king. And he goes and sends Samuel out to see, to anoint another king. And he goes to the house of Jesse and he looks at his sons, and all the sons come in. And he says, no, I didn't see the king. He says, do you have another son? And that's when we see David in the scripture. And we see this description given of David here. In 1 Samuel 16 and 12, he says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So here we see this description of David, at least as a young age, says that he was of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look at. Now, so here we're talking about an outward beauty, a physical beauty. So we see that David is described as physically being someone that's attractive, someone that you would look at and say he was beautiful. He was good to look at. And also we know of David and his problem that he had, of how that by outward physical beauty he was tempted to sin, and he sinned with Bathsheba, and it caused turmoil all of his life because he fell to outward beauty, as we see in 2 Samuel 11 and 2. It says about Bathsheba here that she was very beautiful to look upon. Outward beauty. And so in Psalms, when we see about the beauty of holiness, this is a richer beauty than an outward beauty that would be seen. This is not a physical beauty, not an outward beauty, but an inward beauty. And we'll talk more about this as we study this, an inward beauty. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 3. Hear what Peter is telling us about in 1 Peter chapter 3. As we'll read through this, starting with verse 1. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, talking about the husband, if any obey not the word, they will without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So he's talking about this woman that's a Christian. She believes the word. She's obeying the word. She's been taught the gospel and she believes what she's taught, but she has a husband that doesn't. And he's not convinced by the teachers. He's not convinced by the word. That's what he says here. If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. This word we have in our old King James, conversation, this would mean conduct, we would say today. Their conduct, their behavior, the way that they live, the result of believing the word is beautiful, as we'll continue on to read. And that result, he will see it. He will see the conversation. Let's look in verse 2. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation, that's your pure conduct, the way that you behave yourself, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the inward man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of the Lord of great price. So it's not an outward beauty that's going to win over the husband, but it's an inward beauty. And it's without the words. When he talks about conversation, it's a without words, the conversation. So he's not talking about convincing him with words. Conversation is talking about the way that you live, the way that you show the results of your belief, the words that you believe. And notice he says in verse 4, not corruptible. That's talking about our physical beauty. It will fade. It will decay. It will go away. But inward beauty is not corruptible. Not corruptible. And we want to look at this morning, some inward beauty. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. And this word quiet here doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't say any words. It doesn't talk about the noise level in this word quiet, but it's another old King James word here, but it means peaceful. It means undisturbed, not easily upset. That's what he's talking about here. But this morning, we're going to look at beauty. We're going to look at inner beauty, as we see that Jesus said in Matthew 23 and 26. He says, thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. First clean the inside, the outside would be clean also, he said. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. He said outwardly those sepulchres appear beautiful, but inwardly they are full of all uncleanness. This is a burial chamber. Outwardly they have it painted up nicely, and it's beautiful on the outside. And he says that's what they were like, these scribes and Pharisees. They were hypocrites. They were pretending. On the outside they looked beautiful, but not so on the inside. So just like he says here, cleanse first the inside. That's what we need to be focused on, is our beauty. Beauty that's within. Clean the inside. Put away evil thoughts out of our mind. Put them away. Clean the inside. Mike McCorkle has been here, and he said that his dad taught him that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Don't let the evil thoughts stay in your mind. Put them out. Clean them up. Don't imagine evil. Don't think about and dwell on revenge. Don't imagine how you're going to get back at somebody. Don't allow yourself to dwell on jealousy, looking at what someone else has, being jealous of them. Put those thoughts out of your mind. Don't imagine lust, looking out and seeing other things that could please you, and dwelling on those things and how that you might dream of having things. Don't dwell on those things. Don't dream of saying hard things to others and imagine conversations in your mind of how that you got back at somebody else. Don't think on these things. As Philippians 4 and 8 says, think on the good things. Think on those things that are pure. Replace the bad thoughts with the good thoughts. And clean up the inside so that the inside can be beautiful. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Believe it or not, this morning I plan to give beauty tips. And some of this may get kind of corny. I mean, it's kind of funny to start with, to think here I am giving the beauty tips. There's lots of beautiful people out there. It shouldn't be me, but this morning I'm giving some beauty tips, and they're kind of funny. Lindsay laughed at them and thought they were funny. So let's look at some makeup. We're going to look at some makeup this morning. There's all kinds of makeup. So I'm going to have different kinds that I talk about of makeup. The first that I want to talk about is make up your mind of right and wrong of what's right, what's wrong, and then do what's right. And I've said, talked about this principle before. Make up your mind of what's right and wrong before you're in the middle of a temptation to do what's wrong. It's too late then to try to decide what's right and wrong. Make up your mind. Study it out. Figure out what's right and really have your mind made up and set on doing what's right. Know how that you're going to react. When comes opportunity that it seems that a lie would get you out of trouble. A lie seems to be the easiest thing to tell. The truth may be hard to say sometimes. You got to have your mind made up. Make up your mind. What's right and what's wrong? Is it wrong to tell a lie? Is your mind made up? I'm going to tell the truth? This is what I'm talking about. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, he says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things is to try it, to think about it, to test it, to study it out and figure out what's right and wrong. Prove all things and hold fast. Hold fast means that's back to your makeup. Your mind is made up. You're going to hold fast to that which is good. You've decided what's right, what's wrong. I'm going to do what's right. When someone comes to you and they've got some kind of drug that's going to make you feel better, they say, something they've tried. Is your mind made up? What's right and what's wrong? Is this the way you want to find pleasure in life? Is from drugs? They might say, oh look, I've done it. Nothing happened to me. There might be lots of excuses, lots of ways that you might rationalize out of that moment that you want to do this. But you've got to sit down and really think about it. Make up your mind. Is this the way I want to live my life? Is this what I want to consider pleasure? Is this going to take me down the path that I want to go in my life? Make up your mind before the temptation comes along. Before opportunity to sin presents itself, make up your mind how you're going to respond. Don't be pressured. You have to have your mind made up. Don't make spur-of-the-moment decisions, rationalizing out and doing things that you know is not really right. But have your mind made up. Many times on these short-term decisions, we make a decision, spur-of-the-moment, we make the wrong decision because we've not thought it out. We look at short-term rewards instead of looking at the long-term cost. And I've heard of this idea also applied to choosing a spouse. On some of these radio programs that I listen to and parenting advice things, they talk about with your children to go ahead and have them thinking about. Not that they're looking for a spouse at the moment, but before they start looking for a spouse, to think about what's going to make a good spouse. What are the characteristics that I will want in my husband or in my wife? Choose out the things that you would like to have. Choose out the things that you would put on your must-have characteristics. We've got some more makeup to talk about. Again, we're talking about making up your mind. Make up your mind of your salvation. In 2 Peter 1 and 10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. He says, make your calling and election sure. Don't live your life unsure. Don't live your life taking chances with your soul. How foolish to take chances with their soul. But do the things that are necessary so that you know. Study God's Word. Study of His salvation. Learn learn more about God, His power, His promises, His faithfulness, and have faith, have confidence in God, and make up your mind about your salvation. Confidence is beautiful. I've heard these things they talk about on television about presenting beauty and how to look beautiful, and they talk about confidence. It's not necessarily about the physical structure of your body and the things you were given, but the way that you carry yourself with confidence. Confidence is beautiful, but not arrogance, but confidence. And faith in God. And we've got some more makeup. Some makeup of a makeup with others that you have a conflict with. Don't hold grudges. A lot of times people get in these grudges and one is mad at the other and they're both mad at each other. And we've seen it before and it's ugly. It's not beautiful. It's not an inner beauty shining out. A lot of times just one person could make both sides look better. Could make it a lot more beautiful if just one person would be able to put up the pride, put away the pride and be humble, to not hold the grudge. Strife and conflict is ugly, but forgiveness is beautiful. Make up with those that you have a conflict with. Resolve the conflict. We know this is taught in the Bible many places. Also, we've got lipstick. I want to talk about lipstick. Let your lips stick to telling the truth. I've already touched on that this morning. The truth and not lying. Lying is ugly. Let your lips stick to telling the truth. In John 8 and 44, Jesus is speaking here to those that are around him who are questioning the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're not believing him. But here's what he says to them here in John 8:44. He says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. For he is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Lying is ugly. Telling lies, not holding the truth, not loving the truth. Also look in Proverbs 21 and 6. He says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro that of them that seek death." Lying is ugly. Let your lips stick to telling the truth. Telling the truth, you'll have beautiful words coming from you. The truth. The next thing we want to talk about in our makeup tip, in our beauty tip here, is eyeshadow. And I had help with some of these. I'm not all that good with makeup, but I was asking for, tell me some things. So it's not all my doings coming up with these, but they're pretty good. I like these. Eyeshadow especially. Shade your eyes from things that will tempt you. You know, you think about David's life. David's eyes needed some eyeshadow that night. He didn't need to be up there looking out on the roof and looking to see how beautiful Bathsheba was. He should not have been looking that long to see how beautiful she was. He needed to shade his eyes. He needed to look away. And that's the eyeshadow that we're talking about. Shading your eyes from the temptation. Let's look in Luke. Some things that Jesus taught here. In Luke chapter 11, we're going to start reading with verse 33. It says, "No man, when he lighteth a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." So we're familiar with this teaching about light, and we're associated quite often with preaching of the gospel and showing the faith that you have to others letting that be a light shining to those around you, thinking about the light shining out. But then let's look also, light is a beautiful thing, but look at what he says here in verse 34. He says, the light of the body is the eye. Wherefore, when thine eye is single, or healthy, it would mean thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. He's talking about our eyes and the light that comes in to us, not just the light that would set out and shine out for others, but here we're talking about the light that would shine in. Our body would be full of light, or our body would be full of darkness if our eye was evil. Verse 35, he says, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And when the light shineth, and when the bright shining of the candle doth giveth thee light. Our eyes are supposed to bring in light to us. It's supposed to allow us to see good things and bring good things into us. But our eyes are just the window that lets the light in. They can be misused. He says, Jesus talks about bringing in darkness. If our eyes are healthy, they bring in good things. They look at good things. They allow us to have that light inside of us. Light is healthy. That light is beautiful. But when we look with our eyes to lust, when we look with our eyes and misuse them to look and to lust, we're letting darkness in. An ugly darkness is coming into us and causing us to be unhealthy. This is a warning about what we look at. We need eyeshadow. We need to use good judgment of the things that we look at. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not of what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. He's talking about studying and reading. He's talking about keeping it in front of you where you could look at it and remember these encouragement that he's giving here about darkness, about light. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've got to have beauty inside of us, and that will bring forth the issues of our life. That will bring forth a beautiful life. That's why he says, keep thine heart. And that's the eyeshadow that we're talking about. The next thing on my list, next beauty tip that I have for you is to get a new do. Get the new do. In that we want to be a doer of the word. So when I talk about a new do, I'm not talking about a new hairdo, but I'm talking about a now here do. And the reason why I say now and here is because a lot of times we have these things and we think, I'm going to be a great doer of the word someday, somewhere. But now and here, we want to be a doer of the word. Not someday. Not when the conditions are right, sometime later, I'll be a doer. Not when the setting is right, sometime else. then I'll be a doer. But we need to be a doer now. Find the things that we can do now for God. What can we do? Here we see that we are to be a doer and not just a hearer. In James 1 and 22 he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now after this he gives an illustration talking about this deceiving of yourself. And we're not going to go into the details of that. But that also has to do with someone looking at themselves and just ignoring what they see. More beauty tips there. But we're going to skip that. We want to look at being a doer of the word. We've got some more scriptures on this. And in Psalms 9 and 16, he says, "Let thy work appear unto thy servant." Sometimes this is our problem. We just don't see the work that needs to be done. We don't see the work that's being done. "Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto thy children." Notice verse 17. "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." We have to live our Christian life. It has to be something that we live. Something that is that we do. Not just a hearer of the word. He said we're deceiving ourselves if we sit and we listen and we're a hearer but not a doer. If we only hear it, if we only learn it and know the facts of it, or even if we just say that we believe, if we're believing what this thing is true, but we're not a doer of the word, we're deceiving ourselves. To be a Christian, we've got to be a doer. And so I've got some suggestions. There's many things that we can do, and I think some of these suggestions, if we start with this, we will see some other work. See some other do's that we need to have. We need to study our Bible. And we need to study our Bible so that we learn and so that we are more like Christ and to be a better Christian. Study looking for things that we need to change, that we need to do. But we need to study our Bible so that we can teach others also. Study our Bibles. And we need to pray. We need to pray for understanding. We need to pray for, as we're talking about the studying of the Bibles, pray for understanding, that we would understand it better. Pray for the success of the gospel as it's taught to others. Specifically, some ways that we can pray on Sunday mornings before we come to church. Let's pray for the assembly. Pray for the assembly before we get here. Pray for fellowship with our fellow Christians. Pray for our fellow Christians that they will be able to be there. Pray that we have a good attendance. Pray for our song selection, that we will have good songs that can teach and that we will be able to hear and learn from the song service. Pray for these things. Pray for the speaker that he will be able to bring a good lesson. That he'll have a good message and be able to deliver it. Pray for edification, that we will learn and that others will learn. We need to do this. This is a do that we can have. Pray for our example, that we would be a good example when we come to church on Sunday morning. And I think when we start our doing with praying, when we start to pray, we will find other things to do. We will realize the work that's around us that needs to be done. When we spend that time meditating on it, we will see what we can do. And another beauty tip that I have, as I've seen them, they talk about beauty things. It's not just all about makeup or hairdo. It always goes to the clothes too. So next we want to talk about our clothes. You know, Revelation talks about, describes people's clothing a lot of times. I didn't realize that until I was looking at this and didn't just did a little search. But Revelation talks about different people coming in, and it's figuratively talking about clothes. But in many times, he describes it as clothes. And we're not going to go and study in that, but we also see that humility is a beautiful clothing. Let's look at this in 1 Peter 5 and 5. He says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed in humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." We need to be humble. Humility is beautiful. That's a beautiful clothes that we need to be clothed in as Christians. Be clothed in humility. Be ready to be subject to others. Be ready to serve others. Resist. It says, "For God resists the proud, but giveth grace." See, we talked about that before. Grace to the humble. Also, as we think about clothing, there's the armor of God that we read about in Ephesians. He talks about the breastplate, the helmet. We want to just look at this morning just the shoes, because then, you know, that's part of your beauty tips. You see women, they're always, the shoes is what makes the outfit. You hear about the shoes a lot. So this morning we're going to talk about shoes and this armor of God from Ephesians 6. He says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Also, I'm talking about shoes here because I like shoes. I always wear shoes. And I notice from this verse 15, he says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." When I'm talking about shoes and what we're talking about here, it's about being prepared. That's what he says here. "Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Being ready. Are you ready to be a doer of the word? You have to prepare yourself for the work, and putting on the right shoes is part of that. And that's what he's teaching here in this armor of God, that putting on the shoes, being prepared and ready to go out, ready to work. Shoes shows preparedness. Many times whenever we're getting ready to go somewhere or something, we have to wait for everybody to get the shoes on because we're not ready to go. We're not ready to go until we put those shoes on. We're just at the house, but we have to put the shoes on. Now, I always have shoes on, but sometimes, still, I have to go and change my shoes because I'm not prepared to do a certain job. Sometimes I need to go down into the field and, well, these are my newest tennis shoes. I don't want to go down, walk down through the yard and it's wet and going down back behind the house. I go change my shoes. I'm getting prepared for the work. And that's what we want to talk about now, is being prepared. It takes time to go ahead and get prepared for the work. Do it now. Study your Bible so that you will be prepared to teach others of the gospel. It takes time. It takes commitment. We need to have a love for the truth so that we would be studying it. We have to be prepared to help others, and part of that is living the life of obedience ourselves. When we are living the life of obedience, when we look in God's Word and see things that we need to do and change, and we are living a life of obedience by changing our actions so that we're more like Christ, then we are getting prepared for helping others to do the same. Helping others who are struggling with something, that they're struggling to obey God's will in their life. We can look at our life and say, well, I may not have struggle with that same problem, but I struggle with doing God's will. I've fought with that. I've had to change my life, and here's some things that I do, and we can help others. We have to look out to see how that we can help others, but we have to be prepared. Preparing ourselves. And so I'm talking about work shoes and armor of God. And you may think, shoes? Are shoes beautiful? Are these work shoes beautiful? Thought we were talking about beauty tips, but look at Romans 10 and 15. He says, he's talking about the sending of the gospel. He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And how, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of those that are who are prepared, those that are ready to go out and to teach and preach the gospel of peace and bring these glad tidings of good things, the grace of God. How beautiful. We've got one more beauty tip that I guess it's out of order. It should have been in with the other stuff. But blush should have been with the other makeup maybe. But now I want to talk about blush. Let's look in Jeremiah 5 and 3. He says, O Lord, are thine eyes upon the truth? Are not thine eyes upon the truth? I think from this we see that we're not going to deceive God about our own beauty. God's eyes are going to see the truth. He's going to see the truth. But let's look at what he's saying here in Jeremiah 5 and 3. He says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. He's talking about the people of his time, how that God has stricken them. God has shown them their sin. But they wouldn't grieve over their sin. Even when punished for it, they were so bound to their sin and their sinful life that they wouldn't grieve over it. Because they were not grieved. You've stricken them and they did not grieve. Thou hast consumed them and they refused to receive correction. See the power that sin can have in our life? Don't allow it to start. Don't allow it to take over our life to this point so that we would not blush when we see our own sin, so that we would just accept it and that we would not grieve over our own sin. In 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, Paul had wrote them the letter and corrected lots of things. And then 2 Corinthians, they seem to have corrected some of these things, for he talks about how that they were made sorrowful, but with a godly sorrowful. With a godly sorrow. He says godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. That's the kind of sorrow that we want to have. And that's the last of our beauty tips this morning. But I hope as we're studying this that we can learn some ways and think about some ways that we need to be more beautiful on the inside. To have an inward beauty that's showing the beauty of holiness, not an external beauty. So our invitation song now, you may stand if you'd like to. We're going to offer an invitation as we always do for any that wants to come and request the prayers of the church. We're going to sing the song number 230 about the beauty of Jesus. And anyone that needs to come and request prayers or baptism, we extend that.